Welcome to the State of Energy podcast. My name is Rand DeWitt, along with Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. And Tom, we are presented this week by our friend Brian Humphreys and the team at One Tank. And One Tank offers propane tank monitoring made by propane dealers. For propane dealers, you can take back control of customers' tanks and winterproof your business.
Yeah, we've had Brian on the show a couple times, so big shout out to you. Thanks for sponsoring our show today. It's a great product. It really is. It turns all of your customers' storage tanks into your storage. So we've talked about it in the past. It's called that tertiary storage. Brian's got a solution for you. Steel is super expensive right now. You might as well utilize as much of your customers' storage capacity out in the field as you can for your own storage. Contact One Tank and they'll hook you up with a demo. Great people, great product.
Right. It's really bringing the art of propane storage into the 21st century. Find out more by going to one-tank.com. That is one-tank.com. Welcome to the State of Energy. I'm Rand DeWitt, along with Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. Mr. Tom, how are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing awesome. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. It's cold, but it's sunny.
Yeah, well, you know what? We've got most of the same conditions here in Southern California. It's sunny, but it's going to be 82 today.
Wow, nice.
Sorry, I you know, it's not good snowboarding weather, but... you know, I'm just saying that I can work on my tan. I can work on my tan.
At least you're not trying to snowboard in China right now.
Did yeah.
You see that?
Oh my gosh.
They had to make snow. It was all man-made.
I mean, the Olympics are like just, they seem like they're in trouble. They just seem like they're in trouble. I mean, talking to people, not many care. Not many care about what's going on right now with the Olympics. And I don't, you know, the China effect, the fact that, yeah, you know, they're basically just, you know, shaving paper and throwing it out there on a mountain.
My favorite one was where they were doing the snowboarding with the nuclear, the nuclear power plant behind in the background with logos on it that said Winter Olympics.
Hey, that's maximizing your advertising imprint. There you go.
It was a scene from The Simpsons.
Yeah, you got Mr. Burns sitting on top, you know, plotting his hands. Oh, my God, that's so funny. But folks, you know, one thing that China really should use more of is propane. They could use more propane in China, don't you think?
Well, look, anytime we can clean up the environment, if it's here in the U.S. or abroad, we support it.
Yeah, because propane is clean. It's affordable. It's abundant. It's ready for action right now. Did we mention that it's clean? Because that confuses a lot of people. They don't realize that propane-fueled vehicles are cleaner than electric vehicles from start to finish.
That's right. I mean, look at our electric production. 60% comes from coal right here in Utah. It's no secret. I mean, everybody knows this. Actually, in 38 states, propane is cleaner than electricity.
I mean, even people that drive Teslas in Utah understand the effect of coal on EVs.
Did you like that?
That was pretty great. You took that picture?
I personally took that picture. I was actually at a ski resort and I saw that Tesla with the Utah plate that says coal powered.
It totally does. We have to put that up on the stateofenergy.com. The license plate is coal powered. And you know, COALPWR. And that was the license plate on a Tesla in Utah. And you said that was where it, you know, one of the snowboarding locations.
Yeah, it's at the Snow Basin Ski Resort, just outside out of Ogden. It's, I mean, people aren't stupid. Consumers aren't dumb. They know where their electricity comes from. I would imagine, though, possibly this guy might have got sick of people telling him, "Hey, do you know your car really isn't zero emissions?" So he probably had to get that vanity plate so people would quit telling him that his car runs on coal. He's like, "I know it runs on coal."
You know what? If this show reaches that person that owns that car with that plate, we would really love to have you on the State of Energy. We really would. So reach out to Tom Clark.
We'll get you a free t-shirt.
Now, folks, we're not anti-electric, wind, hydro, or solar. We just believe that propane should be a part of a well-balanced energy plan. All of us working together to accomplish the goals of clean energy, affordability, and security. Because propane is energy for everyone.
It is energy for everyone. And it has a lot of economic justice to it. And you know, we talked about some of these tax credits a little bit earlier. There's one bill in the Utah House right now that's trying to give out massive tax credits for electric vehicles or electric equipment. The engine, you're replacing a gasoline engine with an electric motor, and some of these numbers were mind-blowing. Like, we're talking,
yeah, would you say $1,000 per horsepower?
$1,000 per horsepower. And it's talking about if you had, we're talking about thousands of horsepower equipment, industrial and commercial equipment. But what they don't mention in here is how dirty this electricity is.
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
It says a zero emissions credit. And I'm thinking, how do you justify these credits at zero emissions when we know that there's emissions created when we create electricity, and a lot of it, and it comes from coal, most of it.
I do think that the message is starting to get out, especially when you have Tesla cars with license plates that say coal power on them. I got a feeling that we're having an impact. The State of Energy show is actually having an impact. And you know, I mean, we are in over 900 cities and over 46 countries right now.
Yeah, we are. This show gets listened to a lot. And if you're listening right now and you're concerned about some of the money that's being thrown at electric vehicles or electrifying America, and you understand the true emission cycle, you know, reach out to your legislators, your policymakers, and just let them know how you really feel about it. Because I think a lot of these guys, they're not investigating all of the different types of energies that we have available that are cleaner or better than trying to electrify everything, including propane, because there's so many things that we can do with clean propane that's produced right here in the U.S. and we don't have to worry about trying to get energy from different countries. We don't have to worry about the other worldly problems when we have it right here.
And you know what else our industry can do for people? They can turn them into big ballin' propane haulin' employed Americans.
That's right.
It's job opportunities. Find a propanejob.com. You can get involved in the propane industry. It's set to grow by $50 billion over the next few years. And the opportunity to get involved in the industry has never been more open.
Yeah, there's a ton of job opportunities. And everybody's hiring right now, right? We know this. That's no secret. There's driver shortages everywhere. And with all this stuff that's going on in Canada, I'm sure somebody would love to hire some drivers right now.
You know, I mean, it's crazy what's happening up there at the border. As if we're talking right now, the Detroit border crossing is closed down because of the protests that are happening in Canada right now with the truckers.
I feel bad for these guys. I saw some articles where, you know, they're just camping out, and they're trying to get supplies. They got again, propane's going to come to the rescue and heat some of these guys up because it's cold out there. And you know, they're standing up for their rights, but they're, man, what a mess that's got to be. I'm glad we're not in Detroit right now.
Well, sir, the Ottawa police now are seizing fuel from truckers.
Jeez.
They're actually seizing fuel. They're saying in an effort to put an end to the anti-government demonstrations in Canada's capital, Ottawa police have seized thousands of liters of fuel from the protesting truckers who have occupied the city's downtown core for more than a week. Mayor Jim Watson has declared a state of emergency, and people were warned that anyone attempting to bring material support like gas, food, propane to the demonstrators are subject to arrest.
Wow. That's
it's a little bit different than the way Portland, Oregon's been handled and stuff for the past couple of years.
This is crazy. Yeah. I mean, I've seen plenty of videos or photos of people just building a little cardboard house right on the sidewalk. I mean, you see that walking downtown L.A.
Yeah. And Tony, our director, was telling me a story. Actually, he's streaming it right now as we're talking what's happening in Canada. We're doing a live stream and he's been watching this. And apparently to protest what the mayor has done in the state of emergency, everyone is walking around with gas cans, whether they're filled with anything at all or filled with water. They're trying to like just do this massive, you know, pushback where everyone's walking around with fuel containers. So you can't search everyone.
Wow. That's unbelievable. It's pretty wild. And the power that the people really have is pretty evident there.
Yeah. I mean, it takes a lot of work to anger the Canadian masses. You got to work really hard to anger the masses in Canada.
This is going to change the way, you know, truck drivers, get around. They're already kind of one of the, I hate to say this, but it's not a very glamorous job, right? When you hear, oh, I'm a truck driver, that's kind of...
I don't know. I think that tide's turning. I mean, I think it's getting very sexy to be a truck driver right now, especially in Canada.
Absolutely. And they don't get enough respect already. There's driver shortages. Everybody wants to hire one. And now I think you're going to see a big change coming in the way we, you know, the transportation industry. And in fact, the government just announced a pilot program to let 18, 19, and 20-year-olds drive commercial vehicles across state lines. So a CDL driver used to have to wait until you were 21 in order to jump in a big rig and go and get a job hauling goods across the country.
But if you're 18, you can take a machine gun to a foreign country.
Well, that's true. And you know what was funny? We were talking about this. The way this whole program started was with military or veteran drivers. And,
right.
And we were trying to figure out how is it possible to get a veteran driver that
it's 18, 19, or 20.
That doesn't even exist, does it?
Well, I mean, if there was happy some kind of a discharge.
It didn't make any sense. It just, that was hard to try to understand. But now, as of January 14th, there's a 3,000 pilot program where 3,000 young adults are going to be able to get their CDL and do a little test program. And it's a three-year program. If it turns out that these kids were safe drivers, and they probably are a little bit safer than some of the adults I've seen driving, but not that these young adults are, you know, not that they're not adults, but they'll get the opportunity to show if this is safe or not. And if it is, you'll see a big change, a big shift in transportation and getting some younger guys into the truck a little bit earlier.
Yeah, because this is what the plan that we're talking about goes back to September 10th, 2020, when the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration proposed a pilot program to allow persons ages 18 to 20 to operate commercial motor vehicles in interstate commerce. Now, that pilot plan was never implemented. However, the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, which was signed into law back in November, requires them to be able to establish a pilot program that would allow employers to establish an apprenticeship program for certain 18, 19, and 20-year-old drivers to operate commercial vehicles in interstate commerce, which is basically what you were just saying. But this has been something that's been going on. The Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration tried to get this going back in 2020, but as of last November, thanks to the Jobs Act and Investment Act, this is an opportunity.
Yeah, and if you're a employer and you want to test this out, you can go to the FMCSA's website and you can sign your company up as one of these potential employers that wants to try to be part of this pilot program.
You are listening to The State of Energy. That man, the one with all the important information, his name is Tom Clark. He's executive director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. My name is Rand DeWitt. Find out how propane can improve your life, your business, your home, your forklifts, your fleets of vehicles, Energy for everyone is propane, and you can find out how propane can do that by going to thestateofenergy.com. Also get that information about finding a propane job. Go to thestateofenergy.com. And we've got a great event coming up in April. The 2022 National Propane Gas Association Southeastern Convention and International Propane Expo. That's happening April 24th through the 26th in Nashville. But something happening the day before that starts is the Women in Propane Summit, celebrating 10 years. And this event's going to take place on April 23rd, starting at 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Music City Center in Nashville, Tennessee. And the summit's going to begin with presentations from four women who had not only advanced their careers, but also the propane industry. Paula Wilson, former chair of the Propane Education and Research Council. Leslie Woodward, former chair of the National Propane Gas Association's Technology Standards and Safety Committee. Michelle Bimson-Baggi, chair-elect of the NPGA. And Nancy Koop, founding chair of Women in Propane and 2022 LP Gas Hall of Fame inductee. So that's going on the April 23rd in Nashville, the Women in Propane celebrating their 10-year anniversary.
You're going to be there, right?
Yes. Yeah, I actually am going to that event because I've got the hair for it. No?
You're going to be there. We're going to be in Nashville.
I know. I would love to. You know what? It would be great to actually get there a day earlier and support this summit celebrating the Women in Propane, their 10th anniversary.
Maybe they can stop by our booth and we can have them on the show while we're in Nashville.
That would be great. That would be great. So, we would love to have anyone and anyone that would love to be on the show or like to be on the show. We would love to have you. If you're in the Women in Propane Summit celebrating 10 years, please join us. And we'd love to have you on the State of Energy before, during, and after the event.
That's as
be very cool.
Yeah, that's as long as, you know, we don't get frozen in like Texas is about to.
Ooh. There is, that's a tough one. That's going, you know, Texas is getting hit again. There was that story in Business Insider. Texans saying they're witnessing exploding trees as the winter storm Landon continues to tear through the state. Residents told NBC that they've been hearing popping and snapping noises outside because cold weather, and I mean, we've experienced this. I've used to experience this in Maine as a kid. Cold weather can cause water in a tree's sap to freeze, then expand, then, you know, making the trees basically explode, the limbs falling off. And it sounds like gunshots going off. One resident said, her name's Lauren Reber. She said, we listened to them all night. It sounds like gunshots going off. She also said that she just lost electricity because of the storm. And quote, our only means of heat right now is our propane heater because of all of our firewood is frozen.
Oh, there you go. Propane comes to save the day again. You know, I've never heard of a tree freezing and exploding. I've never heard of it here. I mean,
I used to have it.
Utah trees. The Utah trees are a little bit different, I guess. But yeah, that's another emergency for Texas. We saw this happen last year, and apparently, maybe they didn't learn the lesson down there.
No, and I sent you a link also. It's something that we could spend the whole show talking about this story in Texas Monthly. But it says the Texas electricity grid failure last year was a warm-up. And it lays out the timeline of how Texas barely escaped a complete power shutdown. So I encourage folks to go read that whole story. It's in Texas Monthly.
And it's bizarre that we talked about this just a couple weeks ago. You know, they're already having problems just with the freezing, but then you throw in the story we talked about a couple weeks ago where they were going to get their electric shut off because some problems with their natural gas bill from some electricity producer was fighting with the natural gas provider, and there was 200,000 people that were possibly going to get their power shut off because of this.
Yes,
man, these guys got a lot of problems, and you know what? Maybe now's the time to look into getting a propane powered backup generator. Just in case you don't have any power for maybe a winter storm or something other that you don't have any control over.
Well, I mean, yeah, like that story from NBC that we were just talking about. The lady said that her only form of heat right now comes from their propane heater because all their firewood is frozen and the electricity is off.
Yeah, and that's one cool thing about propane. I mean, look, if you had a diesel power generator, you'd have to worry about diesel gelling up. You'd have to worry about it rotting or going bad, just sitting there. Propane isn't going to freeze up. It's not going to gel up. It doesn't go bad. You could have that sitting in a tank in your backyard, maybe for a year, 2 years, 10 years, and never use it, or just use it every once in a while to cycle the system. But it's there and it's not going to go bad. It's going to be there for you in the event of an emergency.
And if folks go to thestateofenergy.com, we still have some opportunities for rebates with some housing supplies, correct?
Yeah, we've got $200 rebates for if you're going to switch out an electric water heater, if you're going to rip out an old wood-burning stove and put in a propane-powered stove. Anything that's going to run on propane, we'll give you a $200 rebate if it's a vented appliance. Like, it could be a clothes dryer. It could be a fireplace. It could be your cooktop, your water heater. There's lots of different things that run on propane, and we'll help you get those in there safely.
And we'd like to also shift to our discussion about this Cummins story. Cummins, they're a tremendous, tremendous forward-thinking company. And this story that we're talking about is the search for power solutions to decarbonize commercial vehicles and off-highway equipment. Took an exciting turn last summer with an announcement from Cummins and their internal combustion engine development. Their hydrogen-fueled engine development program is one of their latest steps to advance zero-carbon technology. This is very cool. They even got a grant from the UK government to help advance this development.
Yeah, and it, you know, one of the things that, like, why do you want to go hydrogen when there's all this talk about batteries and electric? And you know, they're not stupid. They know. Look, battery powered vehicles are not going to be able to meet these heavy demands, and hydrogen is a clean fuel that's possibly the answer to this. And I think you'll see a lot more work with hydrogen, because we all know that zero emissions on an electric vehicle is not true. And we keep seeing these statements, zero emissions, zero emissions, zero emissions. It's not true. And we got to stop giving out all this money for zero emissions electric vehicles, because it's false. It's not true. It's a very dirty production process. And when we start to talk about how to get into real zero emissions or real near zero emissions, hydrogen is one of those that's been around for a long time, but now you got some big players working on it, that bringing it to life in a commercial vehicle. This is great news, and I hope they're successful with this.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, also something else going back to the cold. A lot of people in Maine, there's been a big EV push there, and there's a story in New Center, Maine, that now with the depth of winter really taking over, these cars that are, you know, had 350-mile range during the summer months, now they're seeing below zero weather. Whoa, that's being cut in half or worse because of the cold.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons, you know, to switch to a propane powered vehicle for your fleet or even your own private use vehicle. But mostly something like a school bus. Can you imagine that same scenario you're talking about with an electric school bus, and then all of a sudden your range is cut in half, but you're trying to get some kids to school safely?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about this in the past, where there were some, you know, some of these large buses in these cold regions, they got to use their entire battery just to warm up the bus, and then they've got to recharge.
Yeah, and realistically, you were seeing a lot of push for electric school buses, and there's so many reasons why you should try to help educate your school districts to make the right decision and not buy an electric school bus, but go with a propane powered school bus. Save your community a ton of money. and make sure that every child is safe and healthy, gets a safe and healthy ride to school.
Yeah, there's a good read in school transportation news. Once again, school transportation news, if you go there. The story is called Every Child Deserves a Safe and Healthy Ride to School, and it lists all the benefits of what propane school buses can offer our children.
Yeah, because, you know, the World Health Organization identifies diesel emissions as a carcinogen. It causes cancer. It causes asthma. And propane buses can eliminate these harmful nitrogen oxide emissions by 96%. So it's a big deal to clean up a diesel school bus with a nice clean propane school bus. And there's people are using these all over. This isn't new technology. There's tens of thousands of school buses already running on propane, and the cost savings between propane powered bus versus some of this new stuff that really hasn't been tested yet in an electric bus is outstanding. It's like a 10-to-1. It's massive savings going with propane versus electricity.
That man with all the wealth of knowledge is Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. My name is Rand DeWitt, and we are always online at thestateofenergy.com.